Let's hear God's word in Matthew chapter 2. Remain standing if you are able. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. You may be seated. As I mentioned this morning, I'm preaching a little series here through the end of December called The Incarnation and Why It Matters. And this morning we focused on the when part of the incarnation, and tonight I want to meditate a little bit with you on the where of the incarnation. Here, Bethlehem of Judea, is mentioned several times as the place where Jesus was born. A prophecy from Micah chapter 5, verse 2 is cited. The location of Jesus' birth is very prominent in these verses. Perhaps not the most important thing, but one of them here in these verses. And we see that the where of Jesus' birth is an important question. The star, for example, took these wise men to a particular place, a particular where. Even as we focus this morning on the time of Jesus' birth, that it happened in history according to God's perfect providence, the same is true for the where of Jesus' birth. There was prophecies regarding this, the particular place that he was to be born, and he was born there. So to re-emphasize a point from this morning, this is, of course, a great comfort to us as we consider the sovereignty of God in our salvation. Every aspect and every detail of the events of this world are playing out according to his perfect plan. Jesus wasn't born at a random moment in time, nor was he born in a random place. Many, many, many years before, God had specified that this son of his would be born in Bethlehem. This was clear enough that when Herod asked advisors, chief priests and scribes, to tell him where the Messiah, where the Christ was to be born, it was a question they could answer, and they could answer accurately. But there are a few other things that we can think about when we think and reflect on when we think about the where of Jesus' birth. But first, let's think about just the answer to that question. Where was Jesus born? We have different ways we can answer that question. One is in Judea. That is the region that Bethlehem is in, also known as Judah. Judah's boundaries change from time to time. It's used in different ways in the Bible to describe this region, sometimes just of the tribe of Judah and sometimes of the larger southern kingdom after the kingdom is split between the north and the south. Bethlehem is one of these cities, Jerusalem being an important one as well. And Judah was a place that God had promised importance and kingship would come from. Let's take a look at a couple passages, starting in Genesis chapter 49. Genesis 49, verses 8 through 12. We have a prophecy here concerning Judah as it comes through Jacob as he blesses Judah, his son. So Genesis chapter 49, 8 through 12. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as a lioness. Who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, binding his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, his teeth are whiter than milk." Here, as Jacob blesses Judah, he gives us this picture and in prophetic terms of the kind of place that Judah, Judah as a person and as the tribe, would take in Israel. He would be a ruler among his brothers. Your brothers shall praise you is the first line. Over his enemies he would be strong. The scepter shall not depart, the ruler's staff from between his feet. Judah is powerful, Judah is strong, and it is from Judah that Jesus comes. These prophecies and promises that are given to Judah are ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, the one who comes and rules not in a temporary way, but in an eternal way and in a perfect way. The connection between Judah and Jesus has a link in between, and that is King David. If you hear, for example, Psalm 78, I'll read to you Psalm 78, verses 67 through 72. Psalm 78, 67 through 72. He rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loves. He built his sanctuary like the high heavens, like the earth which he has founded forever. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to the shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. Here we see what God has done with Judah and one of Judah's descendants, David, or as we often refer to him, King David. Not a surprise coming from Judah that David would become the paradigmatic king of Israel, the great King David. David was originally a shepherd. We are told in places, various places in Scripture that he shepherded near Bethlehem, which we'll get to in a moment. But this shepherding image of David as a boy becomes used of his great kingly power. And often the imagery of shepherds and kings are joined together in the Bible in this wonderful way. So verse 72, with upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. The kings which God desired to rule over his people, and ultimately the king which God desired to rule over his people, would be a good servant from Judah and even a son of David. We remember God's covenant with David promising him a son, which he, of course, gives to us in the person of Jesus. In all of this, in focusing on Judah in particular, we have God's promises playing out in history, even in place. God's promises to Abraham to be a blessing to him through a particular seed, and then through Judah, and then the promise to David, and then finally, here we have the Son of God being born in Judah. The second way we can answer the question about where Jesus was born is in Bethlehem. So just thinking more specifically, Bethlehem is a city in Judah, and this was an important point as it regarded the Christ. So here, for example, John 7:42, where there's a discussion about who Jesus is. John 7, verse 42. Let me start in verse 40. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So you see the argument, right? They know that Jesus is Jesus of Nazareth. He's coming from Galilee. There's this fact that's in the air. But how does that correspond with the fact that the Christ is supposed to come from Bethlehem? They're obviously missing a piece of information. That he is from Bethlehem as well as from Galilee. Another wonderful truth worth reflecting on. But you see the point here. The point is that the Christ would come from a particular place. And people were expecting it. They were waiting from that. Can't imagine what it would be like to be a mom in Bethlehem and just wonder every year, who's it going to be? But I suppose after a while, as happens with most things, we get impatient and jaded and think things will never happen. But they do. God does come and God does provide the promises, fulfill the promises that he has made. And so this prophecy from Micah 5:2 is quoted here in our passage this evening, Matthew 2. Matthew 2, verse 6. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Not only is this a prophecy that connects the Messiah, the Christ, with this particular place, but it makes sense too because David was from this region. He spent time there, he shepherded there, and it was there in Bethlehem that Samuel anointed him as king. So we have a place that is just freighted with symbolic value. We have places like this, of course. Place of the World Trade Center, for example, is not just a place of commerce and business, a place that you can go to. It's weighted with meaning. Or there's certain cities and towns that have certain cultural connections and meanings. They carry a certain weight, and Bethlehem was like this. It was not least among the rulers of Judah, for from it should come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The third thing we can say is that Jesus was born in lowly circumstances. Where was he born? So zooming in yet one more time, first in Judea, second and more narrowly in Bethlehem, and finally, he was placed in a manger, we read, in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Implicitly says that he was probably nearer with animals in some kind of stable. This is important because it reminds us of the promises that this one who would come, though he would be great, the ruler of his people, the son of David, the son of Judah, the son of Abraham, he would be born in a low condition. He would not be regarded well among men. And that is what indeed happened. So as we consider these different things about where Jesus was born, what might we say about it? Why is any of this important? Well, I want to reflect with you on two things. The first one is that marking it in this way reminds us that Jesus it assures us of Jesus' right to be king. This was the expectation. This is the argument in John 7, right? How can he be the Christ? Because this thing has to be fulfilled. Well, we can answer that argument, and we can have assurance in our faith that Jesus indeed is the Christ. The Old Testament is not a random collection of documents. It's pointing us forward to this one who is to come. And in it, there are these very particular promises, things that must be fulfilled. And so it's right for us to expect them and to ask and to wonder, how is this going to happen? And when we see the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning Micah, concerning Judah, concerning the circumstances of his birth, we are assured in our faith that this is King Jesus. This is the one who is to come by his connection with David and his birthplace and all the rest. The second thing this tells us, now that we see Jesus and we can recognize him as king, is it reminds us of the kind of kingship that he is to have. If all we knew is that he was the great promised son of David, and that's it, we had no other promises, no other information about what that kingdom would be, what it would be like, we would have great hope about this particular king. Because David is a righteous one. He is one who, though sinful, was truly repentant, bowed himself before God, and found grace through faith in his promises. David's kingship is one that is glorious, that is powerful over his enemies, that is blessed by God. If all we knew is that God was sending a special ruler to be born in the city of David, to come from the line of David and to be like David, there would be great hope, reason for rejoicing, reason for, as the wise men do, rejoicing exceedingly with great joy. But it's so much more than that. We're not only told that he is to be born in the style of David, if I can put it that way, or after this model of David, and to rule in that way, but it'll be much more glorious and wonderful than David's experience was. As we know from our recent time in Chronicles, David knew that his kingdom had not been fulfilled in all the ways that he was hoping for. There was still something to come, still something grander, still something that brought glory to God. And we see that in part with Solomon. As good as David was, as great as David was, as powerful as his reign was, there was still things that were lacking. Indeed, God promised him that a son of his would rule on the throne forever. Promises throughout Scripture tell us that this kingdom would be an eternal one, a dominion that would last forever and ever. That this king would rule, as we read of Judah, over all his enemies, and all his brothers would praise him. So we have not only room to be excited about Jesus simply as son of David, but to be excited about him as something that's the greatest thing that the world has ever seen. Even greater than King David, as David himself testifies to in Psalm 110. The fact that Jesus is born in Bethlehem of Judea reminds us of this fact and should give us a lot of hope and confidence as we think about what it means to belong to King Jesus, to be ruled by King Jesus, to belong to his kingdom. But the lowliness of his birth, and even the lowliness of a place like Bethlehem, a place not on any major route, a place not marked for anything really other than David's time there and a tragedy back in Genesis. There's a lowliness in the way in which this great king is born. And this tells us something too. When we think about the where of Jesus' birth and our minds are brought to the glories of King David, the lowliness of the manger reminds us that something else is going to be different here. Jesus does indeed ascend to power, but he does so via the cross. Jesus, like David, will go to sit on his throne in Jerusalem. But he does that on a cross with a crown of thorns and really outside the walls of the city. Rejected, scorned, and hated. But these two things do not contradict each other. The humility of Jesus, the suffering of Jesus, the lowliness of Jesus do not take away from his glory, but they lead us to his glory. And a particular kind of glory, that is the glory of grace. Jesus became king to fulfill promises, yes, but they are gracious promises. Promises given to Abraham, who simply believed and was called righteous. Promises given to David, though he was the lowliest of all his brothers, rose to great power. Promises given to all of us, ultimately as an answer to the curse back in Genesis 3 that we brought upon ourselves. When Jesus comes into the world, he comes not merely as a king to rule and to reign, but to do so by the glories of his grace. When we think of his suffering, when we think of his humility in connection with his power, this is what we should be brought to. We should be brought to our sins. This is why he came, and this is why he did what he did. So that our sins could be forgiven. So that the wrath of God would be poured out on him instead of us. And this is what he accomplished. This is the kind of kingship that he exercises, and he continues to pour out. Ultimately, Jesus' kingdom, this great kingdom of grace, would not be limited to Bethlehem or Jerusalem or Judah or all of Israel or even just that portion of the world. But dominion would extend throughout all the world. And this is good news for us because it means that because our king was born in Bethlehem, because our king was born in Judah, it means that he is the king over all the world. So that we don't have to go live in Bethlehem. We don't have to go live in Jerusalem or Israel in order to be under him and to be known by him and to be protected and ruled and guarded and shepherded by him. Because he is the Christ, because he is the Messiah, we can come to him by faith wherever we are. And you should. King Jesus, who comes in this particular time, in this particular place in history, deserves not just our wonder, but our worship, our trust, and our faith. Because the one who was born in this place, in the city of David, would rule as David, and would do so fulfilling all the promises of God forever for us. Let's pray.